got Mary Williams in front of me, life coach. Good morning, Mary.
Hi.
Have a stroopwafel, why don't you?
I've taken a couple for the kids.
Excellent. Take some for every child, you know. Mary, you're a life coach. Before we start talking about boundaries, which is what you're here today to talk about, let's just recap a little bit. What exactly is a life coach?
A life coach is somebody who helps you when you get to a place where you're maybe feeling stuck and you might not know why you're feeling stuck. You might believe that you're capable of more. And they just help you sort of unpick it, really, work out the journey that for you is appropriate.
Right. And so most people will come to you. You said in the past that you get people coming with a variety of issues,
yeah.
Work, personal life,
yes, parenting.
Weight. Yes, yeah. Parenting. Well, you're here today to talk about boundaries. Let's be clear what we're talking about. When we mean boundaries, what do we mean?
I believe that we mean those sort of almost rules that we put around ourselves, society puts them around us as well, that allow us to live comfortably and safely. And I mean safety in both the physical and the sort of mental, the mental ways of it as well as being physically safe.
So these are what behaviour, but I mean, there's obviously things like personal space,
yeah.
Behaviour boundaries, yeah. Emotional space.
Yeah, so I think as humanity, we have boundaries around how we treat each other. Then if you look at countries, they tend to have different boundaries around culturally, how we look after each other. Religions have different boundaries. Employment have different boundaries. We have different boundaries with our friendships and our relationships. For example, you expect me to come in and arrive on time. If I stop doing that, actually, that has an impact on you, and that would be your boundary showing itself. And obviously with children and parents, there's a huge amount around boundaries.
Yes, let's talk about parent-children boundaries. lots of parents know about children's boundaries and setting boundaries.
Yes.
And the idea is that actually children are happier if you set boundaries.
Yes.
Is that true, do you think?
Yes. And I think the interesting thing is that lots of parents think that if they set boundaries that they are having to be incredibly strict, and actually that's not the way it works. So what children want to know, like most adults actually, is where they stand. And it's when where they stand fluctuates and changes regularly that they become emotionally unsafe. And that's when you often see poor behaviour.
So, and is that because they're not aware of the boundaries or because they're just pushing them?
So I would say it's a bit of both. So parents who fluctuate on their boundaries, which I have to say we absolutely all do, when we're tired or upset or going through sort of life changes that we're not managing well, we fluctuate. So it's both, really. It's both.
So when you're setting these boundaries, what do you take into account?
So I always say to parents to have a conversation with them and whoever else is relevant to that boundary about what's really important to them. And they'll know what's important to them because they'll register it as a comfortable or uncomfortable feeling. And so to set that between them, either as a couple or even if you're a single parent, to just take some time to sit with yourself and think what actually is important to me about how my children behaves, how they feel, how they are. And then you then give that to the child with a set of rules. So one of the clear boundaries that I always set with children is around having a bedtime routine, because sleep is crucially important to behaviour anyway and to how we feel. But it's a morning routine and a bedtime routine give a child very good structure in the day. They tell them where they stand and what's expected of them.
And what happens if you don't set those boundaries?
What happens is you tend to get really poor behaviour. And I know this, I see this in my own children often when I notice their behaviour is not so good. Often it's me, actually, I'm the culprit in that I've started to put them to bed a bit later or just be a bit more flexible and things. And when I say flexible, it's not around being inflexible. So actually, there are always those times when we say, let's go and eat tea on the sofa or let's stay up and watch something. But it's about doing that really regularly, so that actually they don't really know where they stand.
It's hard being a parent, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, these boundaries, we don't want to use them to beat ourselves up when we've got enough on our plate as well. So they are there as real guidelines, I suppose, for both parents and child.
Yeah, and I think it sort of falls under the 80-20 rule, actually. If 80% of the time you're getting it right and you're holding your bedtimes at the right time and your morning routine works and your rules around your behaviour are working, I think there's absolutely 20% of the time when you say, great, let's bring dinner, let's eat it in the bed, watching a film, etc. And And I actually think that's a really valuable part of life, because as much as we want children to have the security of the boundaries staying firm, we want them to have the ability to be able to handle change and to be able to explore opportunity as it comes up.
And it's not just children that have boundaries. We have boundaries, and they're probably exhibited in personal relationships, in the workspace.
Yes, yes. So I think as all adults, we like to know where we stand as much as children do. And actually that comes... that often leads from the childhood, actually. So I think it is a question of, if you went into your workplace and suddenly every day your hours changed or was expected of you changed, you'd start to feel quite emotionally unsafe. And that's really what the boundaries are around for adults and children. It's around emotional safety. And that's why with children, and actually with adults, you'll see behaviour that is different to how that person normally responds. And it's when you start to think, that's unusual for that person or that child, that you might want to start looking at boundaries. What's changed with that person that might be leading them to feel unsafe?
So what do you do as an adult? If you're a child and you're feeling your boundaries have changed, then it's up to the responsible parent or carer to exert them and put them in place. If as an adult you feel the boundaries in which you work keep on changing, or in a relationship, what do you do?
Well, the ideal thing is to have a conversation with whoever's changing the boundaries about what your needs are and what their needs are. So it's a matter of looking at both of your sets of boundaries and finding where they overlap. And once you've sorted that out, then actually your emotional safety tends to fall back into place.
And is it about trusting your instinct? If something doesn't feel right, you know, how do we know what our boundaries are? Because mine might be very different to yours.
Absolutely. I think it's about trusting our instinct, but it's also about working out where your instinct comes from. So is your instinct actually a reaction to something that's happened to you previously, or is that actually a kind of sensible instinct? So with children, I often say to parents, if you sort of put your arms out in a big circle and you imagine your children growing up in that circle, then in that circle they might fall out of trees, break their arms. You know, they still explore life, they're still taking opportunities, but that boundary becomes what I call a kind of no boundary or a love boundary. It's where the buck stops. And it's the same with us as adults, that we have a no boundary or a kind of love boundary, and we want to know that actually in the workplace, this is what we've been told is going to happen, or in a relationship, you know, these are the boundaries that we're both agreeing to. So that open communication is really, really important.
And are there just certain people who are boundary pushers, as it were? There's always the person we know who, you know, seems to have no idea of personal space and will stand 2 millimetres from you when they're talking.
And I think, I mean, teenagers, for example, absolutely, almost, you know, the point of the teenage is to boundary push. And if they're not boundary pushing, in some respects, you know, you want to be asking yourself why they're not. So absolutely, if you've got a teenager that's boundary pushing, you're doing really well.
take consolation in that.
Exactly. But we do that as adults, and we see that, and often it's sometimes the people who haven't had the clear boundaries as children will grow up to be boundary pushers as adults, because they're still looking for that no, or that I love you enough to stop you doing this, which is really what the parent boundary is.
And I suppose, as you say, there are cultural differences. You know, what's acceptable in one country would not be acceptable in another.
Absolutely. And it's the same in religions, and it's the same even in villages. You know, I lived in the city centre of Cambridge for a while and didn't say good morning and good evening, good afternoon to people, but I live in a village and we now do. The boundaries are different.
And if people want to find out more about boundaries, are there particular books or websites that you would recommend?
Not necessarily about boundaries, actually. It's more about working out why the boundary is missing. I mean, there is, I suppose for children, there's a lovely book actually called Saying No by a lady called Asha Phillips. And that's all about why it's really important to say no, which obviously no in itself is a boundary. So for parenting, that's a fabulous book. But for adults, I would say look around you and work out why you're feeling uncomfortable. Like you said, why is your gut instinct singing out to you, and try to work out where that is and what's the conversation that you need to have.
Parents not to feel bad about setting boundaries, not to feel that you're being the mean mum or dad.
Yeah. And actually, I always say to parents that it's the reverse. Actually, if you're setting boundaries and you're holding clear guidelines, actually, that's a huge sign of your love and affection for your child. And they will rebel against it, because that's what they want to. But I had a lovely 8-year-old I worked with once who was struggling with her father, who was the most lovely father that, you know, I'd worked with. But he just wasn't so good at setting boundaries. And she said, I just want daddy to be more parenty.
Oh.
And she said, mummy will say no to these things, and she should, but daddy doesn't. And it was just a clear 8-year-old saying, please give me some boundaries.
Your children know, don't they? I suppose it's about reviewing the boundaries as well, because the boundaries for an 8-year-old will be different than they are for a 14-year-old.
Absolutely. And I think it's the same in your relationship and in the workplace and with your friends as well.
Lovely. Yeah. Oh, well, thank you, Mary. I feel you're very welcome. Yes, and I shall go back home tonight. Put some batteries in place. If people want to find out more about you and your work, your website, I know you're in the process of updating various websites, but initially they can go to employeegrowth.co.uk.
Yes. Yeah. You can find me there.
And you can find you there. Yeah. And then at some stage that website might refer you to a different website. Well, we can also, as long as we can find you.
You can find me.
Good. Well, we'll see you again in, about a month's time?
Yes, lovely.
Lovely. Thank you, Mary.